This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. Hour number two. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman.
And I'm back in the studio again, Captain Benny.
And producing.
And I'm here too, Leslie T. Travis. Good morning.
Good morning. Everything okay with everybody?
Mm-hmm. So I get to sign up to take a fishing trip with you, huh? At Revac?
Yeah, you can come up to the Turbo Show.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't been to one of those in years. I've been to a couple of them, but it's a big deal. That's where all the petrochemical guys, everything, you know.
Right.
Big equipment guys are all in one building together and cutting deals and showing off displays of new modern technology in that field.
Moving and shaking and giving away stress balls and koozies.
That's it. Yeah, buddy. Well, cool. Well, we're open for business. It's hour number two, man. Things ought to start lighting up around here. So if you want to get a call in, do it now before we get clogged up. 713-572-4610.
That's 713-572-4610.
All right, let's get to Eddie on one. Eddie, good morning. You're on the Outdoor Show.
Hey, good morning, Captain Nini. I have a little bit of a vision problem. I heard you last week talking about tying knots and stuff. I have a hard time tying knots, and I thought maybe you could tell me an easy way to tell a good, simple, plain, and easy knot that I could tie and don't get in trouble no more.
Well, that's... Man, that's tough. I've got good eyes. I was blessed with good eyes, so...
Yes, sir.
I don't know. You got any suggestions, Benny?
How about the polymer?
I've got good eyes, but I choose not to tie that one, but that I guess it's pretty simple, huh?
I think it's pretty simple, and it...
Is it?
Yeah, and you can tie it to where you have a large enough space to where you can maybe see it a little easier.
Okay.
Some of the other ones, you know, that you have to twist and then go back down through the clinch, the improved clinch and all that. You gotta have.
I was talking about one last week, and I tried to do it, and I kept having a problem doing that one. So
I can do that one with my eyes closed, except for the part when I put the tag in through the loop.
Yeah, right.
Yes, sir.
And,
I've just tied them. So long for, you know, so many for so long that
yes,
it just
sir.
Comes second nature to me.
Well, I thank y'all, and I love y'all's show. Y'all have a good day.
Best thing to do is practice with a piece of twine, you know, like maybe kite string or something a little bit bigger. And
I went down yesterday to Walmart and got me some, what you're talking about, got me some kite string, and I'm going to try that for a couple of days.
Yeah, just practice all your different basic knots with that.
Okay.
Until you get it down and.
I know you said the other day, monofilament and braid is two different things, you know.
Yeah.
And I didn't know braid would break on you like that.
Braid will. I mean, but it's a whole lot more durable and. Than mono. I mean. When you tie
the two together. When I fish with most of my reels, I put Berkeley Big Game. I like that Berkeley Big Game on there.
Yeah, that line's been around a long time. It's good. It's tried and true.
Yeah, last year I caught a 47.5-pound black drum last year. Took me an hour and 20 minutes.
Dang.
Both you and the fish are wore out.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's a long time. Tighten that drag up a little bit.
A little Garcia 5500.
Well, I had a woman in my boat one day. And this was years back, probably about 8 or 10 years ago. And, I mean, I'm on some stud trout. I mean, we're catching 5 to 7s real quick in common. I've been on that school for about an hour.
Yes,
and
sir.
We were catching and releasing, and we're trying to just keep like 2, 3, and 4 pounders, and they were hard to catch. All these fish were so good, but there was big reds mixed in with them and a bunch of bull drum. But if you know, and I told everybody, I said, don't let your lure go to the bottom. You'll have one of these nasty drum on. Well, this woman thought it was cute that she could catch a 40, 50-pound drum every time she let it go to the bottom in the back of the boat. Well, all she did when she'd hook one of those is ruin everybody else's fishing.
Right.
I'd have to turn the troll motor off and let her fight that big old nasty thing down, and we'd get it off and throw it back in the water, and it'd take me about 20 minutes to get back on that school again with the trolling motor. And the last one she hooked, she did it again. I watched her do it. She knew what she was doing. And the three guys that were with her, they were up kind of by the bow with me. We're catching big trout. And I put that trolling motor on about half high speed while she had that big drum on. She goes, oh, my God. Said, this is the biggest one of the day. It won't turn on me, Captain Mick. It's taking all my line. I just kept running the troll motor. I spooled all of her line off. And she finally busted off, and I looked back, and I said, well, what are you going to do now? She goes, I'm going to use one of your rods. I said, no, you're not either. You're done.
Captain Minnie, didn't that drum wear her out?
She caught like 4 of them in a row, but it was ruining our fishing catching.
Yeah, it was ruining it.
But she was doing it on purpose.
Yeah, yeah. Y'all have a good day, and God bless y'all.
All right, see you, man. I mean, it just, I guess she just needed more attention than the rest of us did.
I guess.
Because it just, I mean.
That is funny, though.
Everybody's got to quit fishing.
Yeah.
I mean, catching 5 to 7 pound trout pretty much every cast, and you have to shut down the whole operation so somebody can fight in a nasty old wormy drum, 40-pound drum. Got a head on him like Eddie Munster. Whiskers like Fred Sanford. You know how they get them old whiskers out of their chin?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Big old rubber lips. Look like inner tubes for lips. I don't know. We used to fish for those when I was a kid. We used to love it off the piers in Trinity. About late April, early May, they'd start that run up that west side. We'd fish at night with Coleman lanterns on the end of a pier and use crack crab. We'd winch those things in all night long.
And now, if you hook one,
I just point my rod at him and put my thumb on the spool and bust him off.
That's right. Yep.
Of course, we were throwing gar rods back in those days, too. And a lot easier to land a fish like that. It's light stuff I throw for trout.
Yeah, it's tough, buddy.
That'll work you over.
Yeah, you gotta do some drag on that reel.
I mean, you going bear hunting with a switch, or you gonna take a 300?
Yep, exactly.
Ultra mag. What have you? Well, we're all caught up. We're ready for some more new business. 713-572-4610.
That's 713-572-4610.
Yep, let it go to the bottom and hook a drum every time.
Every time.
And I've seen that flip over and flop before. I've seen it where the drum are swimming on top, and you got to put a gumball on and get under them to get to the trout and the redfish.
Yeah.
Once in a blue moon, that'll happen. Well, when we used to have those big herds and schools of fish like that, you could work.
Yeah.
But, you know, that was a good old days. You could just put your troll motor down, and you never cranked your big engine up for about 6 or 7 hours. You just stayed on one big school and caught and released. Everybody was sick of catching big fish and go to the house. I long for those days. I'm hoping we can get something done. TPNW, they're just real late to the party on this one. They really dropped the ball on keeping tabs on what's going on in this fishery. You got anything to say about that?
Well, I agree. It takes them a while to react or whatever.
Yeah, about 3 years.
Yeah.
Maybe 4. We all want to see a better fishery. I mean, anybody that does this for a living or anybody that just does it recreationally, I mean, you got to want to have, you want the best for everybody.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we still have fish, but it's not the same. I mean, anybody that can say that fishing's just as good today as it was 5 or 6 years ago is definitely fooling themselves, especially for size and quality. You know, all those years I had the Troutmaster circuit, we fished all up and down the coast. We hit every major port, every bay at the prime times of the years for those specific areas. In Galveston, after the smoke cleared at the end of the year, you'd tally all your fish up and do your averages, and Galveston was always the best.
The heaviest.
Mm-hmm. Well, as the most fish and the heaviest fish on average. And
that's fishing all the way down through Baffin.
That's the whole coast. That's mm-hmm. even Louisiana. Big Lake and Sabine, all of it. And it was just mo better. Not anymore. I'd like to see how that works up coastwide now. But it's up to us to, you know, just make it better. I mean, I'm doing what I can. I've released a lot of fish this year. I think I've eaten trout twice this year.
Yeah. I hadn't eaten them very often. My son came into town last week, and so I went out and I kept three, plus a couple of redfish, and fed him some fish. He doesn't get very much over there in Florida where he lives.
Well, all there's dead.
Yeah. I told him he could go scoop them off the bank over there, and I went to fry those fish, and this was Friday, this past Friday, when that storm blew in over there in Deer Park. I wasn't getting out in that storm, and I went looking for my cornmeal. I mixed my fish fry 50-50 with my cornmeal, and we didn't have any cornmeal.
Straight fish fries, all right. I still like cornmeal. You can do it straight up, you know, Louisiana or Zatarain's, yeah. But I like to mix it too.
I like to mix it, and I like a little crunch to it. So I had some stone ground grits in there.
Hmm.
And I mix those stone ground grits in there, and that gave you your crunch all right. But if you hit wrong on one of those stone ground pieces of grits, you'd think you were going to break a tooth off.
Yeah, like a rock.
Yeah.
Stone ground grits. I've heard of steel ground. I've never heard of stone ground.
Never heard of stone ground?
No, I'm not much of a grits guy. I like grits, but I don't mess with them much.
Don't make them, huh?
No, I don't. We don't have too many formal breakfasts around my house. I can tell you that. Whataburger or snowflake donuts is about as formal as you're going to get. But, what do you call those, Cheez-Its, you know, those little crackers, yeah. The little bitty ones that yeah. You can sit down watching a ball game and eat the whole box.
Yep.
With a cold beverage. Well, Mickey Ray took some one time, and he ground them up real fine and rolled the fish in those and fried them, and they were awesome. I couldn't believe it.
Come on, really?
With Cheez-Its.
Cheese and fish, huh?
Cheez-Its. Cheez-It crackers.
Cheez-It crackers and fish. You know, how about that?
You know, a lot of people, and I'll tell you what, my Aunt Nez, my Uncle Jimmy's wife, she had a recipe for oysters that she used a cracker meal with. I won't tell you what, there's none better. Fried oysters and cracker meal.
Mm.
That was pretty good. It's always good to change up, but good old trout, fried trout or flounder or crappie or whatever, it's hard to beat that.
It's hard to beat it. It really is.
I used to get, remember old Gene Boyd, he had floating bee cornmeal. He had a stone, you know, a real mill where he would stone grind that cornmeal with the germ in it.
Mm-hmm.
Buddy, it was awesome. I'd go over and buy it. I just put it in the freezer because you couldn't leave it out. It'd get boll weevils in it.
Yeah.
Because the germ's still in it. And I would just pull it out of the freezer and mix it up, and you talk about a great way to fry fish.
Mm.
you know, I don't know, out of all the ones that all the cornmeal I buy at the store, I'm more favorable to Pioneer cornmeal.
Pioneer cornmeal.
I like Pioneer, yeah. For store bought. Mm. But you can't beat that floating bee cornmeal. He used to sell a lot of it.
Mm.
And oh, those were the days.
I'm not familiar with it. Of course, I didn't grow up over here. I grew up in Louisiana, but I'm just not familiar with that one.
Fresh ground cornmeal, stone ground. Mm. Man, it's
good
stuff.
No comparison
mm. to what you buy at the store. It was really good. I'd just go by his house and I'd buy several pounds of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was already bagged up. I'd just put it in the freezer, use it as I needed it.
Yeah.
Awesome. Worked out really good. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It's 5:18 in the Bayou City on an open line fun Sunday. Now, business is picking up. Phones are popping now. Well, we got something to do now, Benny.
Yes, sir.
All right. We got Raceboat Ray's up next. He's first. Ray, good morning. What's up?
Well, good morning, captains.
Good morning.
Captain Benny, you're auditioning these storms before they come across the channel and get Highlands.
I guess.
That northwest, the way they got that northeast movement, it comes right through, right over your house, over the channel, and right over mine.
Yeah.
Like that one Friday afternoon was a booger, wasn't it?
It was bear. It was a bear, no doubt.
Lost a couple of trees on that one around the neighborhood. So, anyway... Shoot, you know, that's old guys. You know, everybody keeps talking about being old. That guy a while ago was 57. I'd like to be 57 again.
Me too.
Mm-hmm.
When I was born, the Dead Sea had only just gotten sick.
But
anyway.
That was a good corny joke right there. I laughed at that.
Yeah, well, that's almost as corny as a couple of ones we heard a while ago. But, yeah. You know, that a joke is a joke.
I guess.
The other day. Last Sunday, we were going through the subsidence/erosion thing, and the caller, I can't remember who it was called, his perception of everything was it was all erosion. Well, of course, there's a fair amount of both. There's enough of both of that to go around. It just depends on where you are.
Yeah.
If you were on the corner of Crow Road and Linwood between 60 and 70, you know a little bit about subsidence.
Yes, we do. I grew up in Brownwood. I know all about subsidence, especially when they pump all the groundwater out from under your subdivision.
That went almost 6 feet in 10 years.
Yeah, it did. It sunk like a rock. Now, Lakewood didn't.
Well, now, wait a minute.
Well, it did, but it didn't.
Yeah, well, down where Robert's house is, on that lower end, the Angels down on that point, it was kind of like a fault line. It ended right there. By the time you got up to Dean Hutto's house and on around to Geraci and all those people, well, you know, it was high ground, and that didn't subside any at all.
Yeah.
But
well,
it was,
I know,
you know,
all that on my end down by Bayshore, all down Bayshore and the corner of Mapleton's where I live on that corner. And,
well, yeah.
Then you had, when you went back down Mapleton towards Crow Road all through there, I mean, it was like you could watch it happen. That's how fast it sunk through there.
Well, you know, there used to be a bay called Crystal Bay.
Yeah.
And these days, unless you're as old as we are and know about that thing, you don't know that ever even existed.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that's a whole other subject. That, you know, when you start talking about subsidence, where I grew up over there on Old River on Market Street Road, we had that same subsidence, and it was 5 or 6 feet in that 10-year span. Because, you know, at Carla, we just barely got water in the house. If that happened today on that same piece of land, we'd be under 15 feet of water.
Well, see, in Carla, we had 8 feet of water in our house, and today that would probably be 20 feet.
Hey, boy, you got that right. Well, anyway.
Hey, Carla pushed some water up in here, bud. That was an unbelievable event. Well, it was Cat 5, and it went in at Port O'Connor, so.
Yeah, put Lee Richter and all those guys that went down there and started salvaging all that stuff, put them back on the map down there.
Yeah, it did.
But anyway, well, we need to quit talking about subsidence and erosion, or be that, or we need to hide the razor blades for sure. But anyway, well, I got a call from McLean, so they've got my ski boat trailer ready. I can't wait to get down there and get this Mastercraft off and let them start welding up the bunks. They did a gorgeous job. You know, somebody was, the earlier caller was kind of stroking Belleville, and for all the right reasons. And so I'll stroke McLean. I tell you, those people are absolutely amazing what they can do with the piece of aluminum channel and mold it into a trailer. And they don't make very many ski boat trailers, but they
do. No, but they'll do it. They'll custom build you anything you need. And they just do fine work over there. And I've known Leon and Dwayne, all that crew, since I was a kid. I mean, they used to take care of our ski boats and everything we've had since I was a kid.
Well, you remember this, Leon and I were in the Coast Guard together in the early 60s. That's my favorite joke about him, is I knew him before he parlayed that $3 marriage license into a couple of million.
Oh, Ray, you got away with words, man.
Well, I mean, that's exactly what happened. It's a stroke of luck for him, and he's got himself a mighty fine wife and a great business that he is actually... all the credit to Leon and Jason and all that whole crowd over there. You know, that thing, that little old trailer company was just in a little old garage over there and off Lyons Avenue before he got a hold of it, and he's made it into what you see there today. So props to him for that. And I tell you what, you don't see any trailers anywhere around these parking lots or boat ramps that don't have McLean written on them. So
I'm telling you.
They've cornered this world, that's for sure, and they need it to. It's good stuff.
There was a couple other trailer companies that kind of entered and left pretty quickly.
Yeah.
They just didn't last very long. No.
You know, a lot of people, you know, people down the coastline still building some down for the dealers that are down like in Edna and down south, that way where they are. And they build a good product. But for all practical purposes, McLean has buried the competition in our world.
I'm telling you, I'm going to dance with the one that brung me.
Well, how many have you had under that Kenner?
I'm on my third one. I just got it this year, so it's doing pretty good.
Blaine
took my old one. See, I'd have had my old one gone through, but I didn't have anywhere to put my boat, you know.
Blaine,
so I just ordered a new one and put my boat on my new one. And Blaine was needing one for his Kenner. And I said, mine's in great shape. All it needs is axles. I said, I just put new lights and it's got new tires, everything on it. So I gave it to him, and he had, you know, he still had his Kenner on a trailer. So he is able to take that in there and get him to go through it and put new axles under it. And now he's got a really nice trailer.
One of his old Billy tires and put on there and just still probably use it.
Well,
I wonder how many people even
what Blaine, what James call them tires look like, skull cans rolling down the road.
I wonder how many people even can still remember a Billy trailer.
Nothing like a Dilly.
You remember they had those really, really small wheels that were all out, cantilevered out on the end of the supports and everything. And one of their models had a deal where you could put a bar in there and let it down, you know, down where it's low when you put it in the water at the boat ramp.
Yeah.
Which was kind of a novel idea until those things started collapsing while you were going down the road.
Uh-huh. We all saw that. And then you had, the old days, they had the lift rollers. You know, you get your boat in a ramp and you'd back it in and don't get the bearings underwater, and then you just unwinch it and then lift that roller up, and that boat would just take off, just slide right off the trailer into the water.
Anybody that's old guys like me and that say, well, things aren't like they used to be, well, they sure as heck aren't. Well, I guarantee you what.
Better now, every bit of it.
It is 100% better.
The only thing that's not better is the fishing. That's all I wish for the old days, old day fishing back around again.
Yeah, we beat that horse around the barn, and I'm convinced that you're 100% right. With the fishing pressure.
Oh, I know I'm right.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, but anybody that fishes knows.
We got more technology in our boats right now than a 747, and the fish just don't have a chance like they did. The harvesting of fish with all the technology and the number of fishermen we've got right now is just driving that thing off the chart.
Yeah, I mean, 3 years ago, there was over 1.2 million saltwater licenses sold, and today it's even more than that.
But, I'd love to know what it is today.
Well, they'll come out with some more figures, but a lot of pressure, a lot of pressure. Just figure, I mean, you know, you only got so many million trout on the entire Texas coast, and if a million people just catch one trout a year, that's a million fish, you know, one fishing trip. So, you know, it's not hard to do the math if you figure it all up and you go, we're, you know, you can run out of fish pretty quick if you don't watch out what you're doing.
You know, between, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you could go out on the bay and I might see you and Blaine and a few others, but you wouldn't see what I always called the rams. These days, it doesn't matter what day you're out there, you see a lot of boats.
Yeah, that's right. It's all changed.
And, anyway, well, that's
all right, Ray.
It from Highlands.
All right, buddy. Well, good to hear from you. Have a great Sunday. I hope we get to talk again. We stay above ground for another week. Anyway.
Well, I'm going to be here. You know, I'm going to be here. Turn the lights out.
That's it. Hey, you got it, man. We'll call you Tom Bodette Jr.
And four on Bodette Jr.
All right, brother.
Talk to you later,
man. All right, let's go to Robert. Will be next. He's next. Robert, good morning. You're on the Outdoor Show.
Good morning. How y'all doing this morning?
We're good. How are you, sir?
And I'm driving home from work, so just blessed. Got a good job. And wanted to ask y'all a question about some of the artificial reefs they're putting in the bays out there. I went out fishing with my buddy on the oysters, and just like y'all are saying, there ain't no more fish left. So my brother went out with his neighbor, though, and they went out to some kind of cement reef they're making out there. And, man, they caught some good fish out there. What do y'all know about that, what Texas Parks Wildlife's doing with it?
Well, that's been going on for years. They've been putting out, they call it river rock, but there's a shortage of it, and they're not able to keep up and get the habitat back where it was because of the lack of that substrate to use to create new reefs on the bay. And all the fish, really for the last 3 or 4 years, all the fish we've been catching, you know, the amount we have left have been adhering to that new live oyster beds, which is on that substrate they planted. That's why those are working so good. And you've just got to, you got to go find them. I know where a few are, but I'd be, you know, I mean, it wouldn't be good for me to put those numbers out on the air because, boy, a lot of people would go crazy. And,
and I guess if you, I guess that they don't put them on their website like they do with the freshwater ones.
No, it's a lot of the new, some of that new stuff, you know, like TPNW made some artificial reefs in that Alise area years ago out of that. They were scraping some material out of these columns and using it on the bottom. And anything that's new that they plant on the bottom, oyster spat adheres to it, and then it grows. It starts new oyster beds. And, you know, no matter what anybody says, habitat is everything. If you've got live oysters, they filter the water. They create, you know, bait fish, crustaceans, everything else, which attracts fish. And the live reefs are always going to produce better than a dead reef will. And that's our problem in Galveston Bay. We've lost over 50% of our live habitat, and it's changed things.
Okay, one other question real quick before I let y'all go. We was out there, and we seen some birds working. We thought we'd go throw some lures in there. So my little boy was throwing a real nice chartreuse and silver plug that I bought him, and he kept hooking into these ladyfish. And I tell you, he had a blast on the front of that boat. Them things jump out of the water, really spectacular.
Yeah.
And he's only 11 years old, you know. And anyway, he had a blast fighting them, but I was wondering if there's a way to get, because I believe that there may be something swimming underneath them, probably some reds or something. Does that sound right?
Yeah, a lot of times, you know, if they're on a bunch of shrimp, and usually that's what you're, usually when you get under the birds like that, they're chasing shrimp. And if you can get off to the edges of them or even under them, most of the time you should be able to find a few trout or a red or two here and there. But when it gets just so blatantly obvious that it's just all, I mean, you can tell by the silver flashes in the water and the ladyfish jumping out of the water what it is. It's just a lot of times it's just all skipjacks. And
I didn't know if the right technique would be to try and get underneath them with some kind of different lure.
Well, good luck with that. That's, man, when they're frenzied up like that, it's kind of like trying to catch black bass under white bass. You're just not going to get a lure to a black bass because white bass is going to eat it first. Too much competition.
Yeah, I remember one time we was at the oil rigs. We were trying to drop down to the red snapper, and we couldn't get nothing by them damn triggerfish. Them darn triggerfish.
Yeah, I understand.
It's the same kind of thing, huh?
Pretty much, and we used to have to put on real heavy weights just to get them down through the triggerfish really fast, you know, to get to the snapper.
Yeah.
Or if they're that bad, right, you just got to move. You just got to go try something else.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah, I used to do some spearfishing on them rigs, and a buddy of mine got bit by one of them triggerfish. Let me tell you what.
Yeah.
You could hear him swearing all the way.
Oh,
to the
they
green
got they got some
the
chompers, man. You ain't kidding. Boy. They got some chompers.
He was coming up with an amberjack. He was coming up with an amberjack, and them triggerfish were eating that fish right off his spear. So he started smacking at him, and one of them bit his finger. You could hear it over to the next oil rig. It was loud. He screamed.
Oh, I bet. Heck yeah.
It was funny. But all right, well,
all right,
I
Robert.
Appreciate y'all's time.
See you, man.
Y'all have a blessed Sunday. Now, take
you
care.
Too, sir. Thank you. All right, let's go to Darren real quick. Darren, good morning. You're on the Outdoor Show. What's up?
Good morning, Captain Mickey. How are you?
Good. How are you, sir?
Well, we're rolling down here to Matagorda. It's the Hooks Bit Junior Angler Association, Matagorda Mayhem, with a couple of these young guns we got here. My son, Red Bottom, and Colton Marante.
Oh, Lord, you got a crew in a boat with you today. Them boys can fish now. They are, they're hardcore.
Yeah. We try to teach them right, man. Try to put a little bend in their bill, though. You know, get that flat bill off.
That's it. Hey, every time I see Colton, I tell him, I said, hey, put a little more bend in that hat, son. You're starting to, you're getting that flat bill look on me, son. Don't, but no, that's a good couple of boys right there. Bynum and Marante, they're going to do good today, I bet.
Well, that's what we're hoping for. What you boys got to say? Y'all going to say something for Captain Mickey? I just got to say, we're going to go out there and see the back.
You gonna do a big girl beat down today?
Yes, sir.
What are you gonna throw?
I can't tell you that.
Why? Like it's a secret? I mean, you gonna start out with a topwater? Are you gonna throw meat, or what are you gonna do, man?
Well, personally, I mean, I feel as if my partner is so good that anything he puts on, he's going to catch a fish. I mean, it just don't matter. I mean, he's got it in the bag. So.
Okay. That's kind of like that John Wayne movie when that old boy said, that's mighty strong talk for a one-eyed fat man.
I can tell you this, Mickey, it ain't going to be no croaker.
Attaboy. Hey, I know Colton personally, and he's he's a cat's whisker. He'll chunk. And Rhett Bynum, he's going to have a good day today. I'm going to go ahead and predict that right now.
Well, that's what we're hoping for, man. We're gonna go fish some holes that used to fish back in the old Trap Master days.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to hit those early, though, but we're going to see what we can scratch out, man. We found some pretty good stuff yesterday.
Good.
But you know how it goes, tournament fishing. Today's a new day.
What do y'all got? What do they got to have? Two trout, two reds?
That's it. We got to have two reds, two trout, and one trout.
Get them two reds.
You know,
Yeah, get them two reds in a box early, and then them trout are going to bite good between about 10 and 1 o'clock. That's been a good bite for us up here anyway.
Well, that is exactly the plan, Captain.
Well, y'all got a plan. That's better than most, my friend, better than most. Well, hey, I got to run. I'm on a break unless y'all want to hold.
No, we're good, man. Just wanted to talk up Boothbit Junior Angler Association, Jeff Austin, and Wade Bullard. What these guys are doing for these youngsters is amazing, man. It's we put together a good group of fishing family is what we call it, man. It's a good thing.
That's right. I'm proud to be affiliated with it. Well, y'all have a good one. Good luck to you boys, and y'all break a leg out there, man. Go get them.
We're going to work on it, man. We'll
all right. See you. Take care. And I remember his shift cable was broke. Remember he had a coat hanger coming out from under the cowling where he'd shifted into gear back and forth? Boy, we used to do some limping back in the day, didn't we?
We used to limp. If you want to fish in
Texas, you better listen to the Outdoor Show. This, little Mexican guy told me how to get down in there. He said, yeah, you need the Jeep. So if we head down and we're going through the jungle and we just run out of road or any kind of clearing. Old Bill that was with us, old Bullet Bill, he gets out of the Jeep, said, I'll walk down. I'll keep going this way and see if I can find that lagoon. Well, we're stopping. He gets out of the Jeep and takes off through the jungle. We're sitting there about 5 or 10 minutes. Block goes, man, we may have to go check on him. Something might have ate him on the way. Well, here comes Bill coming back out, and he said, man, he said, I don't think we want to go down there. It's nothing but clean fish carcasses everywhere. It looks like this place might be fished out. Yeah, we're laying all over the bank. And then my wife looks over to the right and said, oh, my God. I said, what? And there was a human skull laying on the ground in there. And we decided, let's go back to town.
Yeah.
This might not be a good place for us. You're going to find out what they're biting on.
Big Lake to Matagorda, and some places in between. Now, time for more of the Outdoor Show, presented by Hookspit Performance Rods on Sports Radio 610.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. Almost lost my train of thought listening to Santana. How'd that song start off? Oye, como va? Yeah, something like that. Well, it's Open Line Sunday. Give us a call. We are caught up. Open for business, 713-572-4610.
That's 713-572-4610.
Boy, listen to those bites that Leslie played. Hey, we did do some limping back in the day.
I'm telling you.
I mean, if my last $10, that's all I had in my pocket, I'd spend it on gas and ice just to go catch a fish.
Yep.
We didn't have trips back then with all of us guide buddies. We just all pooled together, go on one boat. Whoever's boat had the most gas in it, we'd take it.
And whoever's vehicle and whoever's, had the most
whoever's truck had the most gas, they were pulling. And, boy, we did some limping. I remember one winter, me and James, we are on some just absolute pigs. And couldn't even pay anybody to go with us.
Mm.
We had to go every day, man. We're throwing 51M mirror lures, catching 7 and 8 pounders every day.
Mm.
Multitudes of them. Just couldn't get enough.
I'd just like to have the opportunity to the possibility of catching a 7 or 8 pounder a day.
Yeah, but back then we caught multitudes of them.
I'd settle for one right now.
Yeah, you and me both. It has changed.
It has changed, yep.
All right, well, we got a couple of callers. Let's get to them. Let's go to Scotty on line one. Scotty, good morning. You're on the Outdoor Show.
Hello, gentlemen. We're going to take a day trip next week.
I live over here in Kima, and I've never fished the Trinity Bay area. And we're gonna head east on I-10, and we're gonna go down in that Umbrella Point, Beach City, Smith Point area. Do you recommend a good boat ramp down there we can put in at?
Well, I mean, Umbrella Point, Beach City, that's on the west side of Trinity Bay. You'd have to probably put in at Rosen Park or Thompson's or Bayland Park to fish that.
Okay.
I'd say put in at Hugo up in the top end, but if you had never run out of there before, you might want to go with somebody that has and show you how to do it first. It's kind of tricky. I mean, it's easy once you learn it and know how to run out of the marsh into the bay, but I would have somebody show you before you attempted
it. Okay. We're just going to do a little sightseeing over there as well.
Yeah, put in at Thompson's and just make the big loop, you know. That's kind of the way I roll when I fish out of there.
Okay.
I'll put in at Thompson's and, you know, and if you need bait, she's always got live shrimp.
Yeah, we've never traveled over there whatsoever, and I guess the wife's going to want to eat somewhere after we get done. Are there any good restaurants over there to eat at in that part of the world?
No, unless
you can recommend.
Unless you go into Baytown, and I mean, I always leave Baytown if I'm going to go out to eat somewhere. I grew up in that town. It's not the same anymore, man.
Okay.
There's some eateries there, but pulling a boat and everything for you to get into the parking lot and set up it. If I were you, I'd put in at Topwater. And just run across the ship channel and go over into Trinity Bay and cover it all. And then when you come back in, you got a great place to good water and hole and great food right there when you pull your boat
out. Good deal. Good deal.
And plenty of good parking.
Okay. Hey, the last question I had is I want to pick y'all's brains. Last couple of weeks, I've been watching this on the news about the 3D printers that are that will print you a gun out that with no serial numbers. What's y'all's take on that? And I'll hang up and listen.
Okay, very good.
Pick y'all's brain. What's the pros and cons of that 3D printer making those guns with no serial numbers and just what have you? If y'all can just have a little conversation on that, I'd like to listen to it.
When you say pros and cons, you mean am I for something like that or? Because I don't know anything about it. All it is a schematic, right? That you still have to make your own parts. I mean, you can't just put it into a printer and it's going to spit you a upper and a lower out of there on a gun.
Well, from what they're saying on the news, it'll print you out a whole damn working gun that you can go out and shoot and kill somebody with, you know, where they have no serial numbers on them. And I'm just kind of wondering, you know, is this thing going to go through? Are they going to allow them to do this?
The 9th District Appellate Court or whatever, they shut it down.
Yeah,
there was about 10 or 12 different judges that shut it down. I know nothing about that topic whatsoever. It's too political for me to get involved in.
Yeah, that's kind of scary, you know. But okay, all right. If you hear something on it, man, let us know something. If y'all hear anything?
All right. All right,
thank
Scotty.
You,
thank
Appreciate
you. See you, man.
Take care now.
All right. Okay, who do we have next? We have Garrett on two. Punch up, please. Garrett, good morning.
Good morning, sir. How you doing?
Good. How are you, sir?
Good. Me and my friend Jesse here are going out on our first fishing trip out from Katy down to the Texas City Dyke.
Okay.
And we were going to swing by, you know, a bait shop, pick up some live shrimp, some minnows maybe, and just wondering if you had any tips or anything for us.
Tips on what? Where to catch fish?
Yeah, and there's a short road right before Texas City Dyke called Skyline Drive that my dad used to take me down, and I was wondering if it was worth heading there and, you know, instead or just go to boat.
Well, it depends. Are you going to wade fish or just fish off the bank or what?
Well, we were going to go up the rocks on the dyke, and we had these little pre-made two-drop sink things where you have the flip weight on it and two hooks. We're just going to put some live shrimp on them and cast them out.
Well, probably fishing off the Texas City Dyke would be your best bet. Fish the usually the best side this time of year is out towards the end, back to your right, throwing towards the old Texas City Channel. You know, unless the wind's just too bad. you know, to throw into. But it's my mom used to fish at my mom used to fish at dike a lot, and she had a few sweet spots on it. And she'd just ride up and down it, and she'd look for the bait. If a lot of mullet were rafted up in certain areas off those rocks and had some slicks, she would fish that for trout. Now, if you're just, you know, fishing for anything, you know, probably you definitely want to be where there's some fish at. But going out towards the end to your right, there's an old channel marker, and she always set up right in through there and fish that 50, 60-yard stretch through there. And she always did pretty good off the rocks right there, especially with live shrimp.
Towards the end where it begins to curve to the left?
Yeah, but before you get out to the very end to your right, you'll see where, I don't know, what is it, probably 100, 200 yards before you get to the tip end. There's a marker buoy, a big rangefinder to your right there. And she always fished right through there. She always caught a lot of reds and trout right through there.
All right. Well, we'll be on the lookout for it.
Just look for the bait. That's the key.
Well, what do you mean exactly?
Well, like mullet jumping, you know, bait fish, activity.
Okay. All right.
Live waters. Live waters, what I call it.
How long do you generally, you know, fish at a spot before you move to another?
Well, if you're getting bites and you're catching some kind of fish, I'd sit on them. I'd stay with them. But if you're absolutely catching nothing, you know, and catching a bunch of garbage like hardheads and all that, you may want to move that shrimp up under a popping cork and fish it.
Okay.
The best trout catches I'm hearing right now over croaker fishing or anything, live shrimp under a popping cork's working good because the trout right now, they're swimming up in the water column. They're suspended. They're not on the bottom.
All right. Well, we'll give it our best shot. Thank you.
All right.
For the info.
Good luck to you. All right. See you.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Let's go to Matt on three. Look at this.
There it goes. Here.
I mean,
technical difficulties.
I know how to punch a button. Matt, what's up, bud?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, sir.
Good.
Good. How you doing, Benny?
Doing good.
Okay, hey, I'm calling. I got a public service announcement for you guys, and it involves wearing your life vest on the kayak. So you know how popular kayaking has gotten.
Mm-hmm.
But I went on my annual Arkansas trip up to the White River, and you know, up there by Cotter and Lake Bull Shoals Lake, and you know, done this trek many times. We put in it. Rim Shoals and to float down to Buffalo City. That's where the Buffalo River feeds into the White. But anyway, this year the river was uncharacteristically low. I mean, from a kayaking standpoint, it was premier conditions. And you know, with the boat, it's not so good because kind of harder to get over the shoals. But anyway, the point being, as we were going along, and there was a pebble bank where all the water was forced real, real hard to the far right. And it created a chute that, I don't know, was about 10, 15 feet wide, which, you know, normally not a big deal. But, you know, that water was forced real hard to the right. So anyway, long story short, we're going along and there was a tree 100% perpendicular sticking out. And by the time I saw that tree, I mean, I was doing good. One of the better fishing trips I've had up there in a while. So when I saw the tree and tried to paddle around it, I was perfectly parallel, and I, you know, was against that tree. And, you know, I had my GoPro on one rod holder. I had a pole on the other. And just the force of that water sent me under that tree, and it turtled me. And thank God I had my life vest on, because even though the water's so low, that water was moving through there, man.
Well, yeah, it's swift and deep right there, and without a life preserver, you could have died. You could have drowned
easily. And so hitting that cold water, man, it took me a while to catch my breath. And then the second part of that was Katie, my girlfriend, rushed over to help, and she ended up flipping too. I mean, in hindsight, she should have never came over there to try to help me, but she flipped also. But just to finish the story up real quick, we lost three rods, an anchor, a rod holder. She had one of those Mirage drives on her Hobie kayak. And, you know, all those things are extremely heavy. And as we were paddling down, there was a guide, and jokingly I said, "Hey, what do you charge for deer retrieval?" And he said, I don't do that, but there's a guide down the way, the Rileys, they'll find it for you." And sure enough, man, we went back up there in his boat, and he found every single item that we lost, with the exception of my cell phone.
Wow.
And then the amazing thing about it was those heavy items like the anchor, the Mirage Drive, they were like 100 yards downriver. So just you got to respect the water.
Well, yeah, you do. Sure you do.
So, I mean, even if you're like the guys that just called in, you know, first time to the dike, they probably shouldn't be wading around Mosquito Island until they learn a little bit more. But always respect that water, man.
Well, he's not going to wade. They're fishing off the bank.
Well, cool. I just want to share that.
Real quick,
I got a joke. I'm going to try my best here.
Okay.
So we were reading that most accidents happen within five miles from your house, so we just decided to move.
All right. Hey, there's the corny joke of the day so far.
All right, man.
We see you, brother. All right, man. Take care.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.